This is the part that makes the cutting room floor. This is the part we edit out later, cause it is a terrible bore.
Are you ready?
No.
Oh, Sean, what a morning I've had.
Uh-oh.
I guess night for you.
Yep. It's just the early evening now. We had daylight savings time, so now it's even an hour earlier, sort of, than it was before.
About 9:30 a.m. here.
Okay.
And I just finally got my daughter out the door.
Oh, geez.
Oh, this morning routine is getting harder and harder. Actually, it's been getting better recently. She's decided the value of wearing clothes now that it's gotten cold. Oh. But I gotta say new house rule, no games in the morning.
Oh yeah, I had to institute that rule for myself after I was start getting late to work.
But I got an iPhone 4S about 2 weeks ago. Oh, love it, by the way. Really,
oh, excellent.
Fun. Infinity Blade looks amazing on that. But when I got the new one, I was trying to think of what to do with the old one. I guess I could have sold it for a little bit of money. It's a 3GS.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided instead that I would load it up with like educational apps and games and videos, you know, Sesame Street videos and stuff. And I gave it to my daughter. And my daughter's 2 years old, by the way.
Wow, that's
just
right.
Two, like 2 years old and like 2 months. And, you know, I figured she'd see it as a bit of a novelty, but she just fell in love with that thing.
Yeah.
Like, she's on it all the time. Like, I turned things like Wi-Fi and, you know, 3G and all the cellular stuff off. It's in airplane mode, so mm-hmm. I'm hoping that will... I don't know if I believe those reports of like cell phones doing like brain damage, but you know,
right.
If it's just me, I'm like, bah, it's not real. But when it's my daughter involved, I'm like, oh, I don't know, maybe it is real. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's real for her. It's a total conspiracy for me.
Right. Exactly. That's what being a parent's like, I'm told. I guess I'll find out soon enough.
Exactly. Yeah. But. Yeah, you gotta think of what you're gonna do here, but like my daughter is just she's into playing these games on it. She plays a Kagami Mochi, which is like a mochi stacking game. It's free. You should download it. It's unique.
Is it gonna make me hungry?
I don't know. You wouldn't really like eat like these hard like New Year's style mochi things.
Okay.
So I don't. They're more for decorative purposes. I guess you can turn them into rice crackers later on, but
okay.
But the game does not make me hungry now.
Okay.
It's just a stacking game because for the you know those mochi towers they have it. Mochi is like these hard pounded rice cakes.
Right.
And they make towers of them at New Year's, and they often put like a little orange on top of it. Have you been in Japan around New Year's?
No. The last time I was there past September was 2003 when I was an exchange student, and I left like 2 or 3 days before Christmas.
I see. Well, they come out like right after Christmas. Well, I think then in our show notes we should put a picture of what one of these looks like.
Sure.
That's pretty easy to find. But anyway... the game, you stack these, and it's a very simple game, and that's probably why my daughter can play it. And she also plays one by the same company called Action Potato.
Wow.
This is a Japanese company, by the way. There's these three cans at the bottom of the screen, and if you press one, they like jump up. And there's like these potatoes flying through the air, and if you have the right can jump at the right time, you'll catch the potato.
Okay.
And occasionally there's things that are not potatoes, like rocks. And if you catch one of those, you lose one of your cans.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very simple game. I don't think my daughter really understands the rules, but she just likes hitting buttons and seeing things happen,
yeah,
which is kind of how I play video games.
I don't know what you mean.
But anyway, she loves these so much that when it's time for her to go to preschool, and, you know, my wife's got to go to work too, and eventually I've got to go to work. But when we try to take this away from her, she throws a bloody fit, you know.
Oh, no.
You know, screaming and kicking, and she just wants the game, you know.
Right. Well, who doesn't?
But, like, I could totally sympathize with her because this was my childhood.
Yeah, right.
But I didn't start quite so young. I think that's the thing.
Right.
She's, like, 2 years old, and she's never going to know a time when she didn't have video games.
That's true. Well, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I was pretty young when I was playing my Apple II with my dad,
yeah.
like I mentioned a few episodes ago. So, gosh, I want to say I was like three. It must have been before my sister was born, because it was in this office that later became her bedroom. Maybe like right around the time she was born, because we shared a room for a while, as I remember. So, yeah, I was probably around three, and we were playing like Jumpman and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but not nearly as like a, you know, graphically powerful or even intuitive. Of an interface as what you can do now. And, you know, that's, I'm curious. I'm always interested in hearing, like, you know, how like small children, like cats can play like iPads and stuff, because, you know, you know, when you were a kid, you wanted to like touch the screen and make things happen. Right. And,
yeah.
You know, the DS kind of brought a bit of that, but it wasn't as tactile of an experience as what the iOS devices have been able to do lately.
As magical.
Yes, magic is probably a good word for that.
Actually, one of the first computer games I ever played was with a touch screen. My mom was a teacher.
Oh, right.
And sometimes she worked at the office, and there was the person at the office next to her was a technology consultant.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'd come into her work, like when she couldn't find a babysitter or something, and they'd sit me in front of one of these, like, because she worked with disabled children.
Sure.
So they had it was like a kind of a touch pad type thing, like a Muppet keyboard or something. You know, it just pictures and things on it, and interacted without a keyboard or. A very simple interface, and I think an early touch screen as well.
Interesting.
But, I mean, a touch screen used to be a screen you put over your other screen.
Yeah.
And, like, it had, like, I don't know, a tactile resolution of, like, 20 by 20.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't sense pixels. It was, like, sectors of the screen. But, yeah, we've come a long way.
No kidding. Well, this is really interesting, because YouTube user Mr. Ted 5, I presume that's how it's pronounced because it's all lowercase, had some ideas for podcasts, because we were soliciting them from our listeners, you know, just to see what kinds of things they wanted to talk about.
That's a good way to get it, yeah.
Yeah. So he sent me this message, and I was like, yeah, I'll see what we can do. And like, you know, sure enough. You were all prepared with this story, so let's just run with it.
Let's do that then.
But before we get into that, I just wanted to take a brief moment to mention that another great thing to give your children is our wonderful TV show, internet TV show, on DVD on sale with our sweet, sweet promo code. That will, I guess we'll make it good through Christmas. That sounds like a good idea.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah, sure.
So, just check out the show notes for this episode to look it up, and you'll be pleasantly surprised. Also, we've been adding some stuff to the website lately. Our Tokyo Game Show footage is all available through there directly, not just in our news feed anymore, complete with our show notes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I figured it was about time, you know, and so we'll be going back to our other convention coverage. So I've already added stuff from MAGFest. Earlier this year, in preparation for going to MAGFest in just about 2 months.
Sean, you've been really busy. Like every time I log on to the site, there's like something new there.
Yeah. And that's what I've been hoping to do lately, so that when people go, you know, especially if they're going to watch or read the show notes for the podcast, that it's like, oh, what's this? And they click and yeah, something fun and new. We also added a game section that's going to only get bigger. Right now, covering the basic Nintendo stuff that we've talked about in our podcast and videos. So, like, you know, the Famicom Disk System, the NES, and I added the 3DS too, because I was having a really hard time tracking down their product codes, and it was just a fascinating sort of exercise in seeing like what Nintendo was thinking of developing before it was even released, because like the product code for the WaveBird and the receiver is like really, really early on in the sequence, for instance, for the GameCube there. And it's like they were developing that around the time that the system got released, so they just hadn't released it yet.
So they, when do they develop a product code? Like when it's patented, or
I'm not sure when exactly that happens, but maybe they just like reserve the space in case they're going, because there's gaps all over the place for every system.
So what you're saying is that the WaveBird was conceived or invented or done, I don't know which one this means, before the GameCube?
Because there's other stuff that comes with the GameCube or came out very soon after its release that have later product codes.
I guess that makes sense, though, because maybe it was originally thought to be like an N64 add-on or something.
Yeah. And like, you know, kind of the same goes for the Wii and the 3DS as well. So it's really interesting stuff. So just perusing that would, I think, be a fun education. And we'll definitely expand on that more when we have time, I guess.
Wow, you've blown me away. You can search our site by product code now. That's too much for me.
Maybe I should actually add a search box.
No, I wouldn't do that. Oh. I wouldn't do that.
If you'd like a search box, please email us it. But no. This is super interesting to me, because as soon as Mr. Ted 5 mentioned what I was going to do with my kids, it brought up you know, conversations with my wife about, you know, our differing opinions about when an appropriate time is to expose kids to video games. And it occurred to me, I never asked you once what you were planning on doing, as you already have a 2-year-old, and now I know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why don't you read that email first of all, or excerpt?
Okay. So he says, since you're going to be a parent and Vink is already a parent, you could talk about how you are going to introduce video games to your kid. Are you going to control what they play, or are you going to show them the older games first so they can appreciate them? I almost wanted to bring
That's
in...
That's a good question.
Yeah, I know, right? I almost wanted to bring in Phil Bond on this, because he has already expressed, like, independently of this, his desire to sort of make his children earn the right to play more modern games by playing the classics first. And
yeah, you mentioned
it seems like an attractive idea on the surface, but he's got like a 30 plus year head start on what's considered retro, and new things become retro every day. So by the time this kid's like gone through all the really good stuff, like all the things that he wanted to have played, or she, or whatever, will
be retro.
And it's like, nope, you can't play Halo 10 until you've played Halo 5 and 6.
Never going to catch up. Never going to catch up. You'll see it. You'll see in a picture the other kid's wearing a BioShock 7 t-shirt. He's sporting his Miss Pac-Man shirt.
Yeah.
So he's going to get beat up for lots of things.
Oh no. No. You mean you got to use your hands? That's like a baby's toy.
But this is like the fifth podcast where we brought that up.
Look, it's less, a little more than 3 years until 2015.
I know.
So you know, if I don't see that Wild Gunman arcade cabinet somewhere in L.A. or whatever, out in California, then I'm going to be sorely disappointed. I mean, Nike already tried to release those self-lacing shoes, but first of all, they were only for auction and cost at least $5,000 per pair, and they didn't actually self-lace. So what the heck was the point?
Lame. But remind me in 2 years that I got to bet some money on the Cubbies.
Oh, that's right. What was the score to that game anyway?
Okay. Just watch Back to the Future 2.
Yeah, maybe by then, but they'll stop losing all the time.
But that's an interesting preposition, though, because I think kids should know their roots.
Oh, definitely, definitely. But you know, unless you expose them to it when they're young enough, they might develop certain, you know, aesthetic proclivities that would keep them from playing the game because it looks so much, you know, honestly worse than what they're used to playing. On the other hand, iPhone and iPad games can look like that and often do.
So. Well, plus if it's the first games you expose them to, mm-hmm. they won't know any better.
Right, right, right.
They'll think all games look like this.
Right, and then they'll get blown away when they get the super realistic what's it, who's it, thingamajigger. But, yeah. I mean, realistically, you know, they're going to want to play the stuff that their friends are playing.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so.
Yeah. So, and that's, you know, that's like a, you know, before school morning memory for me, because this is something I mentioned during our Tokyo Game Show time there while we were being interviewed for Zoom on Saturday. That I sort of got out, but they never used the footage. I would go to my friend Chris's house every morning, and we play stuff like Adventure Island. Before like kindergarten or first grade or something like that, because his place was sort of on the way to school. So we'd head over there, play for like, you know, 20 minutes or so, and then go to school. So I was a bit older than your daughter, and was able to put it down. But as I've gotten older, I've gotten worse and worse at stopping and knowing when to stop.
I think that's an interesting point to put out. Like, my daughter is not old enough to tell the time.
Right.
You know?
Right.
She has no concept of time, but she can play video games.
Right, yeah.
She can barely talk, but, you know, she's figured out the general concept of how to... I mean, she's not great, but she's figured out the general concept of how to play a video game.
Sure.
That's kind of crazy to me. But what is also crazy is showing the addictive quality of it.
Mm.
How she really doesn't, you know, if she's reading a book, you know, she'll get bored with it after a little while. If she's, you know, playing with a toy, she'll get bored with it after a little while. But she can be on that game thing for, well, until I take it away. I don't know. I guess it's a bigger topic, but like, are games bad for kids? Oh my gosh, you know what? I argued with my parents about this for 10 years, and I always took the position that they're not bad for kids. You know?
Well, naturally, because you were a kid yourself.
Because I was a kid. And I'm like, studies have shown that they teach good hand-eye coordination.
Right, right.
I think was, whatever, was the, and reading skills, if you're playing. I mean, if I hadn't played Dragon Warrior, I would never have known how to be able to read "Thou art dead."
Right.
But it's something I gotta come to terms with. And then there's just so many things to think about if you're a parent with your kids. Like, I mean, I snuck over to my friend's house because my parents wouldn't let me play Mortal Kombat.
Oh, right.
Well,
yeah,
not
mine either.
Mortal Kombat, the second one, because it had that big 17 plus label on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think I was 13, 14. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But
my parents were
like, this is like an R-rated movie. And I'm like, no, it's a video game. But actually, it's probably quite a bit more violent than an R-rated movie.
Yeah. It's pretty gory, you got to admit. But it's, you know. It was cartoonish in its violence, even if it was somewhat realistic. And you know, kids like that gross out stuff.
Oh, definitely.
Well, it just made me think of like all these parents who are upset about that, and it continues to this day for some strange reason that, you know, the kids are going to want to go around trying to rip each other's, you know, spines out, you know, completely intact from each other. I guess they can try all they want; it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Oh man, but. The games now are so much more violent than that was.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I was getting older. I remember, like, you know, playing Perfect Dark and GoldenEye before that, and just sniping people. And you know, initially it just made me feel kind of ill. You know,
yeah.
It's like this is kind of, you know, they're blocky characters, but they have human faces, even if they are kind of goofy. And the way that they crumple, it's a little uncanny valley, but it's also a little nauseating.
So. Yeah, I think so. That's the thing. I just don't know, because when I was in America and I'd see, like, I don't know, 9, 10-year-old kids going into GameStop and buying Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Like, the libertarian side of me goes, sure, kids.
Yeah.
You know, buy that. Support the economy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should play it if you – maybe you'll learn something from it. But but now that I'm a parent, I'm like, that could be my 9-year-old buying that game. Right. But I totally don't think that any government should go in and say, don't buy that game, because I plan to – I mean, this is my plan now. It might change later, but I plan to be a good parent.
Well, that's good to know.
Because I don't need any organization telling my kids what they can and cannot play.
Yeah,
because that's my job.
There was a law struck down in California either earlier this year or last year. That they tried to enact about that you know there would be you actually barred children from purchasing it or something. And they already won't sell to kids, but I forgot like what step that they took that was a little too far. I don't recall anymore, but it got struck down. So, you know, so theoretically they shouldn't be selling these games to kids anyway, because you know, I'm over 30 now and I still get carded buying you know, mature rated games occasionally.
Really? Yeah. I wish. Since I started losing some hair, I think they're like, "Oh, wow, this guy." They're like, I'm in that middle ground right now between they don't ever ask me for my ID, but they haven't yet started asking for an AARP card.
Oh, yeah, that's quite a big middle ground. You have a ways to go.
So far. Yeah.
But yeah, like the more recent times that happened, I've been like, really, and then it's just gotten so I've been like so aloof to the issue that when they ask, I won't know why for a second. Then I realize, oh, this game was rated mature, because I don't check the labels for myself because I'm, you know, an adult, and I have been for a teenager's life. So,
yeah.
So I don't worry about it so much. But I think what that means, though, realistically, is that the kids who are playing these mature rated games, their parents or, you know, some adult is buying it for them. So, you know, we have the system in place now. We know what's made for kids and what isn't. And we don't have any illusions about we shouldn't have any illusions about all video games being for kids. And yet kids are somehow still getting their hands on them. And they're turning out okay, I think, as far as I know.
I would think so. I don't know. Like, when you played fighting games as a kid, I don't know. I had a younger brother.
Yeah.
And, like, we'd get violent after that.
Oh,
like we'd be playing like Street Fighter for a while, you know, punch, you know, and then like the game would be off, and we're like, hey, we should fight too, you know. But it was like it wasn't like we wanted to hurt each other, though. It was like we wanted to be like the video game.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know.
But I mean, kids do the same. It's not just video games, though. I mean. When I used – the same effect happened to me after watching Ninja Turtles.
I was going to say the exact same thing, because me and my friends would go running around the neighborhood with our, you know, little wooden weapons we made ourselves at home and play Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. And I mean, before that it was Cowboys and Indians, and before that it was rock and roll music. Wait, I think I've got my timeline wrong. But you know, I mean, kids will – and before that, kids our age were actually going out hunting and going to war. So
Yeah. I was just going to say too, like, you know, I think there is a danger if the kids, you know, wants to do something like Cowboys and Indians, or wants to, like, recreate, you know, some kind of shooting thing, and they get a hold of an actual gun.
And that's the thing.
But then the question is, you know, is that the video game's fault, or is that – the parent whose gun it is? And okay, all right, I guess this is a little difficult territory, because maybe some of our listeners lost children or siblings or whatever to accidental gun misfirings, or someone having one when they shouldn't have or whatever. But you know, ideally, you know, the ammo and the weapons should be kept separately and shouldn't be loaded when it's in the house. But I like
guns. Like I like actual guns, you know.
Right.
I used to do target shooting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. clay pigeons, targets, the whatnot. Never really hunted. It just seemed too messy to me.
Yeah, we are from Wisconsin, so it was a huge hunting culture.
Didn't really have any moral objection to it. I preferred to play video games, not get my hands messy.
Right, right. You know, so, shoot things that are safely behind a screen.
Yeah, but I played Duck Hunt, and no moral objections there, except that you really should be able to shoot the dog. Right. But that's not really a moral objection. But
that dog was annoying.
But now that I'm a dad with like a 2-year-old who climbs on everything and opens everything and can get everywhere,
right.
I can't even imagine owning a gun.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're in Japan too, where they aren't legal.
Yeah, I just found out like you can hunt in Japan. You can like own a rifle.
Interesting.
And I'm like, well, what keeps people from robbing banks with these? And my friend said, oh, you can only use them for hunting. And I'm like, well, but perhaps the person who was going to rob the bank might also have broken that other rule. You know, it's
like, right.
Oh, man, I want to rob this bank. I got this gun, but it says it's only for hunting.
Don't give them any ideas.
But, like, for some reason, in Japan, that's enough.
Well, they also call green lights aoi, so there you go.
Aoi means blue. But I don't know. They do kind of look blue-green. Maybe I've been living here too long.
They're green.
They're starting to become blue to me because the Japanese people say that they're blue, so
yeah.
I'm kind of seeing it now. I've been here too long.
There are four lights, Vink.
Anyway. Yeah. That's a. I'm guessing a 1984 reference.
No, it's a Next Generation reference. Picard is captured by Cardassians and tortured and interrogated, and they're trying to break his spirit. So he keeps being told that there are five lights. Behind him, and Picard's like, no, I only see four of them, and it gets really heated, and then you know, in a very Khan-like manner, he's like, there are four lights! And at the very end of the episode, we find out that,
there were five, but Patrick Stewart's head was blocking them.
he knew that there were only four, but sometimes, just because he wanted the torture to stop, he could swear he almost saw the fifth one. So,
whoa.
Yeah,
I was thinking, right? 1984, where it's like 2 plus 2 equals 5, or,
right,
you know, where they, and like, because Big Brother says that, all right. See, this is the two different levels this show is on. There's Vink referencing classic literature, and there's Sean referencing classic Star Trek. Sorry, Next Generation.
Well, started. I mean, you know, the show ended in 1994, so at this point it's classic. I mean, it's almost, you know, it started over 20 years ago now.
Wow.
Is that scary or what?
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh.
It started, like, over 25 years ago.
25 exactly this year,
86, right?
Yeah. No, I think it was 87, 88, 89,
90. Oh, really? Was it?
Yeah, 87.
Okay. Well, okay. So almost.
Yeah, because it was. I remember being in like kindergarten, and seeing the Enterprise for the first time on a cereal box or something. Yeah, that was weird.
Thus, starting his lifelong love of Star Trek and cereal.
Right. No, we couldn't watch that show initially because it wasn't being carried in the market in Eau Claire. So we had to have my uncle tape it for us in Boulogne and send us the tapes. So we could watch the first season until they finally carried it. But I mean, this is the conversations I have with my wife, because it's like, you know, I remember like watching stuff like Doctor Who and like pulling out my baby teeth.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't like want our kids to be able to play video games and watch lots of TV until they're much, much older. And it's just like, well, you know, I formed a lot of these experiences when I was younger than that. So I don't know, like, you know, what's the middle ground here? So
I think the real question is, do you like how you turned out?
I do. I think she likes how I turned out too. At least I hope so.
And that's
she knows that she plays
Plants
vs. Zombies.
I think that's one of the questions I am asking right now, because I mean I like me. very much so
I
now.
Think you're all right.
But like, but I think by playing video games, I had kind of a difficult childhood.
I think I know what you're saying, but I'll let you explain.
Yeah, because I don't think I was super well-rounded. I know I quit the cross-country team because I wanted to play Prince of Persia.
Well, that's a bit extreme.
You know, well, not just that, but like I was more happy playing video games than doing any other particular activity.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely studying.
Oh, right. Well, who doesn't? Who wouldn't do anything else except study?
But the thing is, I look back now and I wonder if I could have gotten better grades or, you know, done better in life had I, like, I had pretty much, like, my parents, other than, like, when it got really late and it was time to go to bed, never really told me, like, stop playing video games, stop watching TV. The TV was always on in my house, like, from the moment we woke up to the time we went to bed. I watch less TV now, actually.
Well, you know. Most of it's garbage, so it's
now
okay.
That I actually have control over it. But,
right.
Okay, let's start with what's the value of video games?
That is a fantastic question. Inherently, they probably have none.
Angry emails are already starting to be typed.
I'm going
to
qualify this.
Okay.
When I was younger, though, in addition to having the fun ones, there are also some kind of educational ones, and there's another one for the Apple II, and I cannot remember for the life of me the name of this, but there was like, you know, some Berenstain Bear type bears, but they weren't the
Sticky
Berenstain
Bear? Bears.
I don't know. It's just some really educational type game, and I loved playing it.
All right.
But
what did it teach you?
I don't remember.
Well, it didn't work then.
Well, no, there was something with counting. I'm pretty sure. There were these different vignettes and something about a car. See, it's all really, really, really vague. But, you know, my parents bought it because it was educational. Because killing Smurfs wasn't as educational.
Was the bear wearing a bow tie?
One of them was, I think.
I think it's Sticky Bear. It was an Apple II game.
Sticky Bear? I'm going to look that up.
They made a whole series of games for, like, Apple II and, you know, Commodore 64, and there's Bears at Work and Babysitter Bear and Sticky Bear Book on Weather and things like that.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to find that because I've been wanting to rediscover it for a long time now, and, you know, we've been talking about Apple quite a bit lately, and and it's just made me think about that, but it's like I never like pulled the trigger on trying to even discuss it with anyone. Until just now. So, all right, I will look that up for sure.
Now, here's the part that makes me that speaks volumes about me is I instantly knew that it was probably Sticky Bear, but I've never actually played one of those games.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, if
it's not part of my nostalgia childhood. It's part of my encyclopedic knowledge of things I don't need to know.
Well, it's okay because if you're wrong, I'll just tell you so next week.
All right.
So yeah,
that'll be the topic of next week's show. Why Vink is wrong.
If you think Vink is wrong, please write in too.
I sure did like Word Munchers. Did you ever play that one?
Yeah, that was that a Mac game though, or did it? I just never get it.
Well,
for
it
the
started
Apple.
On the Apple II, but okay. But I think they made it all the way up to. I think there was even a console release of one of those games.
That was something that like actually had us play in school in the computer lab.
I really liked that game. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, what I liked most about it was, like, not the educational part. I'm like, oh, why do we had one called Number Munchers, too, and it's like, oh, fractions. Why'd they ruin this perfectly good game with fractions? You know?
Do you remember Math Man?
Education was the thing that got in the way. Math Man from Square One TV?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would watch Square – I didn't – like, I was too young to really care about Square One TV. Like, I didn't understand the number detective bits and stuff. But I would watch it just to see a Math Man segment come on.
Yeah, those were great.
Square One Television was that PBS?
I think so.
Or some other station. But
man, I do
it was
not
an
remember.
Educational sketch show.
Yep.
They had, like, they had parodies of, like, Dragnet. It was, like, called MathNet. which is not a very clever parody now that I think about it.
Well, they had like, you know, Agent Monday, and then when she left, they had Agent Tuesday. And did they have a Wednesday also, or did it stop at Tuesday?
I'm not sure, but I bet this is available on YouTube.
Well, I'm almost certainly positive of that.
But Square One, yes, it was really interesting. But yeah, that's the segment I liked the most, Math Man. It was basically Pac-Man, and he'd go around, and he'd this like tornado ghost thing would be chasing him.
Yeah.
And like if he got the math question wrong, it would like eat him. But if he got it right, he'd get the power pellet and he could, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he'd walk around going, Math Man, Math Man, Math Man, Math Man. And what I think one of my friends told me it was an actual video game, and I was looking around for it, but I think he was just lying.
Well, I might have been thinking of Number Munchers or something, because that's the closest thing I can think of to it.
Pretty close, yeah.
I mean, I think I've seen it when I've been older, and I can tell now it was just, you know, purely animated and not like, you know, a screen capture of an actual game or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because there's like lots of dialogue between Math Man and the swirling tornado ghost thing. You know? But it's meant to look like a video game, so... Yeah. That's the kind of stuff, though, that I would want my kids to watch and or play.
Yeah.
Because it would actually, you know, it's fun and it's educational, and I wouldn't mind making that kind of programming and or games myself someday. And now that I'm going to have a kid in about 4 months, I guess time's up.
In your opinion, Sean.
Yeah.
When is too young for gaming?
Or
is there even a concept of too young?
Before
should we
they
be
can
practicing prenatal gaming?
Prenatal gaming.
Yeah, kids can kick. They could hit A buttons.
They can help you with Gyromite.
Yeah. Better than the robot.
well, you know, now that we have things like the iPad. Sorry, I just caught what you said about Rob.
That's all right. That's fine.
You know, the Angry Video Game Nerd relatively recently did a video about Rob.
Really?
Yeah. It was very, very long, and it ends with him totally ripping off my shtick of donning a bunch of sweet Nintendo peripherals to fight Rob to the bitter death. Instead, I just fought myself. Yeah. Anyway, it's relatively entertaining, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
If you like that sort of thing,
I can't watch videos like that anymore because unless I put my headphones on because the language in those videos is not something I want my daughter to be asking me. The day she asks me like what a rectum is, I think we're done. Just done.
So. I totally lost my train of thought now. So yeah, when's too young?
So when is too young? Yeah.
You know, with the iPad now, I think that it younger, it depends. If there's something like geared towards young kids like that, then it kind of makes sense. And you know, if you have one of those laying around the house, they're going to be curious about it anyway, because it's this thing that, you know, reacts to your, you know, everything you do. And when you're a kid, you're all about, you know, making the world bend to your will.
Definitely.
So I mean, it's just ideal. So maybe people should just be making more stuff aimed at young kids like that, but you know, even if it's like, you know, smearing paint around or something so you don't actually get paint all over your stuff.
There's a lot of stuff like that. There just is. I'd say for kids, the age where they can use an iPad is the age where they're not going to break it.
That might be a while.
Although they do make some really nice like soft cases, like kid safe cases. There's one called iWoogie.
iWoogie?
Woogie is like sometimes like a kid's favorite blanket or something. They call it Woogie, you know, or something. But it's basically a stuffed animal that you can put the phone in its like chest. And it's got like a waterproof screen cover, and it's like soft, so you can like drop it.
Oh wow!
But you can still use the touchpad. I was thinking of getting that. I told my wife about it, but she's like, maybe she just should be playing less. <You know>? Well, but, you know, they make,
it's like a high-tech Teddy Ruxpin or something like that.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I don't know, they're coming out with cheaper and cheaper Android tablets all the time too. I mean, eventually someone's going to make the idea of making like a rugged, kid-safe variant of Android.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
It's not super expensive.
Yeah, it'll just get so cheap they'll have like some kind of pre-installed game, and it might cost like $30, $40, $50, but you know, it can get damaged and you won't lose out on your multi-hundred-dollar investment.
Exactly. As soon as the components get cheap enough, they'll do it. They'll do it because Android's already a free OS. So
yep.
I mean, they'll eventually have something like that. But
yeah.
I mean, that's something I never really thought about when I was planning to have kids, because I always thought I'd teach them video games when they were like 5 or 6 years old, because that's when I figured they'd be able to actually, you know, use the controller, maybe 4. But then motion controls happened and touch screens and things like that. And the bar just, the barrier to entry went down a lot. Like, my daughter still can't play like a traditional D-pad type game. I gave her Mario. Right. And she can only operate one thing at once. Like, she'll do the jump button, and she loves it. She watches Mario jump until a Goomba finally kills her or the time runs up. Or she'll move to one end of the screen, you know, because she'll just use one finger at a time.
Yeah, because she probably doesn't have big enough hands or the dexterity to hold it the way you need to in order
to
play.
Well, she puts it down on the ground. I mean, she could, but she just doesn't realize you got to operate two things at the same time.
Because
she's used to touching things on the iPhone, you know.
Right.
She'll eventually get it, and she's so interested in technology right now. I mean, she's only 2 years old, and the thing is, technology is something that I grew up with, but like not in nearly the same way.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm super curious. Yeah. Well, like how kids are going to turn out from this generation who are exposed to this. Like, right away, they're going to see things. They're going to see the limitations of it way faster than we are, and they're going to get more fed up with it. And then when they are old enough to make a difference, they're just going to, you know, release, like, you know, figure out AIs eventually, and then they're going to want to marry their computers, and then we're going to be like, oh, hell no, you won't! And we'll be the old fogies who are against robot marriage or something.
Yeah. Well... call me a traditionalist, but I think marriage should be between a human and a human.
All right. Let's revisit this topic in about 50 years.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Oh, I totally forgot what I was going to say. Now that I'm thinking, now that you've got me off on robot marriage. But, like, my daughter's met her actual grandparents 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
They came to Japan twice, and we took a trip
to
America.
You mean your parents?
Yeah, so my parents. So she's met her, you know, her grandparents, my mom and dad, only 3 times in person, but she sees them every week,
right? Yeah,
through Skype, and sometimes I hook it up to the 50-inch in the living room too, so she can see them pretty much life size. And she talks to them and plays games with them, like peekaboo and stuff. Like, she responds to them like they're, you know, right there.
Yeah.
And, like, that's totally natural to her.
Right.
But think about if she hadn't grown up with that, and one day we went, look at what we can do. I mean, the first time I saw a video chat, it blew my mind.
Right, because you only saw that stuff in movies, like Back to the Future too.
Exactly. And I'm like... could that be real? And then I thought to myself, I hope it's not real, because that means I've got to like look better.
Yeah.
like even now for Skype, like sometimes I'm like, no picture today. Sorry, the webcam's not working.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even though we have Skype and FaceTime and stuff like that, people tend not to use it. Well, you know, partly because of the technological limitations. But yeah, it's like not everyone's looking their best in airbrush and everything all the time.
Yeah. But the thing is, when you grow up with technology like that, when like it doesn't seem, it's usual for her.
Mm-hmm.
What's it going to take to impress her, you know what I mean? In the future? But I don't know. Like growing up, like when I grew up, the internet existed, but it was text and green screens and old men,
BBSs.
You know? But you know, it's. It's all it's amazing, but it's kind of scary too.
Yeah,
like I'm old enough to recognize things and to have some kind of self-control. But like I also want my daughter to play outside. I know, yeah. this is an argument I fought with my parents for all the time. They like, go outside, and I'm like, aren't there bears outside? But you know,
right, I think that's how I met your mother this week.
It's from something, but I mean, it really was like that. I'm like, they're like, go ride your bike, go. But the thing is, when you live in a big city, though, it's actually quite a bit safer to play video games than to go outside.
Yeah, right. That's something, you know. My wife wants to move out to a more rural area, like where she grew up. On the other hand, I'm living in a place pretty much like where I grew up, and it's like, no. I want these kids to like ride their bikes around the neighborhood, you know, and get some freedom. I would feel claustrophobic, and trapped if I were out in the country somewhere. But then she counterpoints that since she grew up with that, she never felt trapped because she could go anywhere she wanted to and do anything she wanted. They usually wouldn't be anyone around to tell her differently because you don't have so many people in a square mile like that. Like in their case, they probably had nobody in the square mile because their farm is that big.
I mean, that's the thing too. Like I'm a geek, definitely. And I'm just trying to figure out right now if I want my daughter to follow my path.
Oh, well, you might not have a choice.
I don't think I do. She's already decided that she loves technology.
Yeah.
You know, but it kind of makes me sad that I don't see her so much playing with like her other toys.
Right.
Like, because she's got like some stuffed animals. She's got like a Winnie the Pooh stuffed animal that she really liked for a while. But now she's probably looking at it and going, so how do I switch the apps on this thing?
Right.
Because it's, I don't know, are we creating a generation of ADD? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't think that they're going to carry that over into everything, you know.
Well, luckily, this is my first kid, so this is the test baby.
Right, test
baby. So you know, we'll see how she turns out, and you know, adapt
for the next one. Yeah. All right. Well,
I really hope she's not listening to this in 10 years.
Oh, she will be, I'm sure.
If she's a geek, yeah.
Or not, she'll be like, "Ah, oh, Dad, God."
You have to use your hands? That's like a baby's toy.
Yeah, although so, I was trying to like switch into Japanese pretty quick, but I wasn't able to do it fast enough. Although I've heard her. She switches without effort.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's got that on top of the whole geek thing going. So she's going to be super smart.
Gosh, she's pretty too. It's I'm gonna have to keep her away from message boards.
I was gonna say something of course she is, but that might be construed as me hitting on your wife, so I'm sorry.
That's all right. But I mean, she's gonna be a geek girl. She's gonna speak English and Japanese, which could mean she could theoretically fan sub things. You know, right. And all signs point to that she's fairly pretty too. So
you're going to be the Robin Williams to her Zelda.
I gotta keep her away from the Japanophiles on the web.
Yeah. you're pretty safe with the Japanese boys because they're really introverted. Stereotype alert.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, it's amazing how you can say something like that, not even living here, and totally hit the nail on the head.
I didn't talk to a lot of Japanese guys when I lived there. You know, most of the friends I made were girls.
I mean, of course, it's not true. It's not true for everybody, but no. You know, stereotypes kind of exist for the reason that you know they hold at least somewhat true.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Some of the least introverted people I know are Japanese guys, but even amongst their peers, they're the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've met some pretty awesome people in the intervening years, so I definitely wouldn't put in that category. So
exactly.
Like I felt like the introvert when we were meeting the Skip guys, because it's like I don't know what to say. These are like game programmers. They've made awesome stuff. I don't know if my Japanese is good enough. So
I got an email from them recently.
Oh great!
Yeah, they hope we can keep in touch. They like that we put up that photo of them.
Great.
And the guy who did the music from Chibi Robo, he's going to send me the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also putting together a soundtrack for Captain Rainbow, and I said, "What do you mean putting it together? Because it's never been released. there's no official released soundtrack. So he's going to take the original files, make an order for them, and put them on a CD."
That guy is so cool. They were all so cool. Ah,
I
know.
Like, I need to. I think we should just wear hats all the time in honor of that guy.
No kidding. What kind of hat was that again? I need to go out and buy one now.
We'll have to check the picture.
Yeah, I don't remember anymore.
I'm not a hat connoisseur, but we're talking about Mr. Taniguchi, who's a composer for Skip. He did the music for Chibi Robo and Gift Pia and Captain Rainbow and some of like the art style type games. Mm. And I think he did music in one of the games that's in the new Wii Play.
He also has been credited erroneously for contributing music to like something, or he was
like
just
Chrono
on the same
Trigger or something.
Right.
But like, it's like there is some connection with him in Chrono Trigger, but it's like it's by degrees away. You know?
Yeah. He wasn't actually involved at all.
But like one of the other people from Skip was involved in Chrono Trigger.
Right.
As a programmer.
Right.
I don't know. I think they just got people mixed up, but
yeah, this is what happens when you can't talk to them directly. Not everyone's so fortunate.
But anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we answered the question really, because I don't know what to do still.
I think the problem is it's something that's gonna evolve as you go along.
Yeah.
Like my original thought was that I wouldn't let my daughter start playing video games until, you know, she was older, and even then I was going to kind of restrict it. But when it actually started happening,
right,
I was really kind of pleased that my daughter and I could share something.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, because I remember that being a bonding experience for like me and my dad, and so I don't, you know, want to lose that.
And I think that anything where you can bond with your child is a good idea for some. I mean, I don't think any parent would ever disagree that reading books together with your children is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, reading them storybooks and, you know, before bed or, you know, whenever they want, everyone would say that's a good idea. But if kids get really into reading and they spend all their time locked in their room reading,
yeah,
it's a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, anything can be a problem. You know, almost every parent agrees that exposing their children to music is good, but you know, if anything taken to extremes can be bad.
Well, video games present a particular problem too, because so many of them take so long to play. It's like, you know, I have 60-hour playthroughs for like RPGs like Mass Effect, or like 100 hours for Final Fantasy five, I want to say. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, that was over the course of weeks or even months. You know, that wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes that was over a weekend. It was more like 20 hours then. But you know, that's when I had nothing else going on, no other responsibilities, and I just wanted to chill in bed because I've been responsible for so long. It's like, yeah, totally a different thing. And like when you're a kid, you should be experienced to as wide a variety of things as possible. So
yeah,
like in my case, I didn't really do sports a whole lot until like I was in middle school, and then I was on the track team in high school and played soccer, even though I was never very good at it. So those are kinds of things that, you know, parents can still do with their kids, and I have those things in common with them that I can encourage them at. So, you know, there's video games is just one thing. And I guess, like you said, everything in moderation, really. So that you can have so much screen time per day or per week or whatever.
I think if you're a good parent and you're paying attention to your kids, that you won't let them play too many video games, or you won't let them play video games that are inappropriate for them.
For and things if you like do, Grand you're a terrible Theft Auto, parent.
For things like Grand Theft Auto, when my child is old enough to be able to play it without me knowing about it,
mm-hmm.
in other words, that they've earned money to from a job that they could buy it by themselves, because I'll never buy it for them.
Right.
Or that they have found a way to convince me that they're sleeping over at someone's house, but really mm-hmm. playing, you know,
mm-hmm.
then they're old enough to play this game.
Now, just to test you on this theory, replace that with making out with boys.
I'll kill every boy.
I'll kill every video game.
Not my daughter. Not my daughter. Nope. No, video games are one thing. No, boys are no.
if they're romance sims, if
so, have you come to any conclusions, Sean, from our hour long discussion of this?
Probably just that my wife is right, and I'm gonna have to listen to everything she says.
That's a safe conclusion. I know. To reach.
She is sitting mere feet away from me.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So
blink if she's got a gun to your back. Oh wait, we don't have camera on.
Just hear me blinking. She is killing a lot of zombies right now.
Well, you know, that happens.
Well, I guess if anyone else has any suggestions, or if you already have kids who are much older than ours and have any experiences you want to share with bringing them up in the video game environment, feel free to leave a message on the website in the show notes, or tweet us on Twitter.
Facebook if you can.
I almost said Facebook. Or on our Facebook page if you like as well. Or email us at podcast@famicomnoja.tv, or heck, call us and at 608-492-1923 to share your stories, and if you have a particularly good one, we might play it in a future episode or read your letter or whatever, as we've already done here. And if you're enjoying this podcast, do not hesitate to leave comments on our iTunes storefront and rate it. We've been getting people doing that, actually. I thought we were just sort of wasting our breath, but people, every week or so we get a new one, and I'm very pleased because it's almost always positive.
Those iTunes comments really, really help us too. The more reviews left, the higher we go up into the ranks there.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're still not close enough that you're ever going to find us if you search by top podcast, but every little bit helps, and the feedback we've been getting has been great, and we really thank you for that.
Definitely.
And as Sean said, if you do have kids who play video games or don't play video games, we'd love to hear, and we'll do a follow up to this one later on. So
I'm sure.
So please feel free to let us know.
Rock on. So. Yeah, I guess speaking of inappropriate material, we should get that next Famicom Dojo video done, huh?
Oh, gosh. that video makes me feel a bit dirty.
Yeah, it should. It should. But it's tastefully done, I think.
I suppose.
Oh, goodness.
You guys will all get that joke. Someday.
We promised one more before the end of the year at least, and we are poised to give you that one more. I won't say anything else because I don't want to promise more than that one.
But we are working on a video right now, and the early footage has been
awesome.
Really good. We're going a very different way with this video, balanced with good information still, but we'd love to know what you think about that.
So, until next week, I guess, and another topic, another podcast. We're getting close to the end of the year here, aren't we? There's not a lot of weeks left.
No. So bundle up.
All right. Until next week, kids.
Yep, and kids. Because maybe some parents have figured that this is a good thing to play for them.
This poor son.
Bad parents right there.